All right, thank you for that introduction. Now, this time of year is just a really crazy time of year for the youth. Those working with youth, those that are teachers in the audience, you guys know what I'm talking about because they start to get that itch. Some people have graduated, like the person up here in the front. Some people have graduated and are done with school, and our students begin to see the end in sight. They begin to think of what summer's going to be like and how much fun they're going to have. And so they start to get this itch to get out of school. And sometimes during that, they kind of come up with some excuses. And so I have a couple of excuses for some students if you're looking for some pointers or if you, these excuses, to excuse an absence from school. A mom wrote a note saying, "My son is under a doctor's care and should not take PE today. Please execute him." I thought that was a little harsh, but "Please excuse Lisa for being absent. She was sick and I had her shot." Again, a little excessive. "Please excuse Jimmy for being. It was his father's fault." "Sally won't be in school a week from Friday. We have to attend her funeral." Oops. Excuses for not having homework. "I'm leading a protest against tree abuse. What did the trees ever do to you?" "I didn't want to waste paper." "I got mugged on the way to school and they took my bag with the homework in it." My wife, who's a teacher, said she hears that one probably more than anything else. Something along the lines of, "My backpack was stolen." I don't know who the backpack thieves are, but they just love their backpacks. Apparently they have a hoard of them. To not leave out those of you guys that are not in school, give you some excuses from work. Here's a couple of them. "I can't come to work today because the city is paving my street and I can't get out." The always favorite, "My dog ate my car keys." That works better if you actually have a dog. And last one, I won't be able to come to work next week. We're trying to have a baby and the doc says that next week is the best chance. So a church decided, well, people always have a lot of excuses as to why they don't come to church. They came up with a plan to attack that. And so they said, "We're going to have a no excuse Sunday. This is dedicated for all those who have some sort of excuse as to why they can't come to church." And so they wanted to address all those issues. So they said, "To make it possible for everyone to attend church this Sunday, we are going to have a special no excuse Sunday. Cots will be placed in the foyer for those who say Sunday is my only day to sleep in." So we'll have those out there. "There will be a special section with lounge chairs for those who feel that our pews are too hard. There will be eye drops for everyone who have tired eyes from watching late night TV. There will be blankets furnished for those who think the church is too cold and fans for those who think that it's too hot. There will be scorecards for those who like to make a list or keep score of where all the hypocrites are and kind of keep score of that. There will be doctors and nurses in attendance just in case you plan to be sick on Sunday. There will be a doctor and a nurse here to take care of that. And we will provide hearing aids for those who can't hear the preacher or cotton wool for those who think it's too loud. Hope to see you there." We can sure come up with a lot of excuses as to why we don't do different things. A lot of different things we can come up with excuses of why that's not going to work for us. Well, Jesus encountered some people as he called people to follow him. He encountered some people that came up with excuses for why they couldn't follow him. And I want to look at that today as I challenge us to just begin following Jesus. If you would turn to Luke chapter 9, that's where we're going to be most of the day today. So some excuses that are given for not following Jesus. The first one we see, excuse number one, is somewhere. Somewhere. I'll explain that. I'll read the verse and then I'll explain that. Verse 57 through 58 of chapter 9. It says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Now, what's going on here? Let me explain this a little bit because there's some nuance there. Is Jesus is walking along and a man comes up to him and he says, hey, Jesus, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. Anywhere you go, I'm going to follow you. And Jesus says, really? Really? So Jesus says, okay, well, just so you know, I'm not going to be, staying in 4-star hotels here. Yeah, the Son of Man, which he's referring to Jesus, referring to himself, he's saying, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight. I just wander around and hope somebody lets me into their house so I can stay there. Jesus wasn't staying in ritzy hotels. He wasn't living the life. He wasn't having paparazzi following him around and he wasn't taking advantage of living the life in the culture. And this guy, obviously Jesus knew his heart. And Jesus was recognizing that what this man was really saying is, I'll follow you everywhere as long as ... as long as my needs are met, as long as we're going to have a nice place to stay, as long as any other possibilities of demands that he could make. So my point here is follow Jesus. We need to follow Jesus without demands. Follow Jesus without demands. There's always going to be an excuse that of somewhere that we don't really want to go, something that we don't want to experience there, but we need to follow Jesus without demands. This guy was kind of making demands. It's unsaid here in the passage, but basically his heart is that he wanted to follow Jesus as long as his demands were met, as long as his needs were going to be met. In doing that, it's kind of odd because Jesus is kind of discouraging people from following him. You kind of look at this passage and you go, why would Jesus kind of shut the guy down and say, no, don't follow me? Our nature would be to try and grab as many people to follow us as possible. We want to make friends with people. We want to have people follow us. We want to have people root us on. We like Twitter and Facebook because we get to rack up lots of people that follow us or that are our friends so that we can say, hey, I have 1,000 friends on Facebook. Jesus wasn't looking to accumulate just a large number of friends or followers. He was looking for people that were actually going to follow him, that were actually gonna give up their lives and follow him with everything that they had. Jesus was calling people to give up, that would be willing to give up their comfort and their security to follow him. Now, many of you guys know my wife Lauren right there. She's going to Uganda this summer. She's going to be in Uganda for 6 weeks. Sort of a mission trip. It's not a Christian organization, but she's going to be teaching at a school in Uganda about a Christian education as well as history and teaching teachers, helping teachers to learn how to teach and teach better and kind of working with them. So Lauren, when she was signing up for this program, she had the choice. They gave her a choice. There's two kind of places that she could go. She could either go to the place that is actually in the city that would have a little bit more of what we would be accustomed to. Obviously, you're giving up a lot of what you're accustomed to when you go to Uganda, but it would be a little bit more of our normal standard of living in terms of you would have electricity and water and things like that. The other place that she would have to go, she didn't know if she would have any sort of water or toilets or electricity or anything like that. They probably wouldn't have had much of any of that. In fact, they would just come in on the weekends to get a shower in the city. and then go back out there. Well, Lauren wasn't afraid of going to either place. She didn't want to say, no, I'll only go to the city. She left it open. She is going to be going to the city. But the point is that she was willing to accept whatever God put in front of her, whatever accommodations there was going to be. She didn't really care about staying in nice hotels or anything like that. She wanted to follow God, and she left it up to God to place her where she was going to go. A lot of our missionaries that we support have accepted positions in as missionaries in places where their needs, their standard of living is a lot different from what ours is and from what theirs was maybe before they were even missionaries. Lauren was telling me about Ann Judson, who was one of our first missionaries from America to overseas. And she gave up everything without the expectation that she would even ever return, that she would even survive. That people like that who left to go to some place that they knew nothing about, not knowing if they would ever return, if they would ever see their family, not knowing if they would even survive, and they were willing to do that because they put following Jesus above their demands, above their expectations, above their presumptions about what that would mean to follow Jesus. Would you be willing to follow Jesus no matter what? No matter where he would call you? Maybe he's calling you to another place. Maybe he's calling you to another job. Maybe he's calling you to be a real follower, whether you're at school or at work or at home or in your neighborhood or in your family or around different people. Maybe he's calling you to be a follower wherever you are. There can't be any restrictions on where you follow Jesus or what your expectations or conditions are for where you will follow him. Second excuse is sometime. We see that in verse 59 through 60. Verse 59 through 60. It says, he said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Again, this seems kind of cold-hearted. You read this and you go, Jesus, the guy's father just died. You know, give him a little time to experience that, to deal with that. I mean, that would be tough to have your father die, Jesus. And you kind of look at that and go, Jesus, come on. You know, have a heart for the guy. This isn't the kind of Jesus that we normally read about, a guy that's heartless. But that's not really what's going on there. Again, there's a little bit more going on in the story. Burial procedures of the time, if your father had died, if someone in your family had died, the oldest son would be kind of in charge of all those arrangements. And there would be a period of mourning that would last at least 7 days. And during that period of mourning, they wouldn't even leave the house. They would be in the house mourning the loss of that person that passed away. Well, this guy is obviously out there talking to Jesus, and he says, hey, Jesus, I'll follow you. Does that sound like someone that's locked in his house mourning? No. So what that means is there's one of two options, and different commentaries would actually take both sides of this. So I'll give you both, and I'll tell you which way I would lean. Okay, there's one set of commentaries that would say his father actually hasn't yet died, that he's basically saying, I'm going to wait until my father dies. You know, maybe he's getting close to death. Maybe he's sick. I don't know. But he's saying, let me wait until after that gets taken care of, after my father dies, after I get my inheritance, after things are the way that I want them to be, and then I'll begin following you. Give me a little time to get my affairs in order and take care of my responsibilities, and then I'll follow you. The other perspective says, takes an even deeper look at the burial practices of the day, and basically says, well, he wouldn't have been outside during those 7 days after the death. But maybe the father died and it's been about at least 7 days, and so he's seen Jesus. But what a son would, what the oldest son would do is he would, a year later, come back after the bones were cleaned from the flesh, you know, after everything was rotted out and there was just bones left, they would take the bones and they would rebury them in a bone box. And so maybe this guy is asking for up to a year so that he can take care of all those arrangements of taking care of the bones and stuff, and then I'll follow you, Jesus. Doesn't really matter which point, which side you fall on. I tend to lean towards the second perspective, but it doesn't really matter because the point is that either way, the guy was asking for some length of time that he was putting some restrictions on. I'll follow you, but not yet. I'll follow you, but give me some time to take care of my responsibilities, get my things in order, and then I will follow you. Not yet, though. Not quite yet. I'm not ready quite yet, but then I will. I will. I will, Jesus. Really, I will. Just not yet. Following Jesus, what Jesus wants is us to follow him without delay. He wants us to follow him without any sort of delay. When Jesus called Levi, or Matthew, you might know him as, when he called him, he was a tax collector, and that was a you know, pretty good paying job, and Jesus saw him along the way, and he said, "Follow me," and Levi left what he was doing, completely abandoned his position to follow Jesus. He followed Jesus without any sort of delay. Would we be willing to follow Jesus without any sort of delay? When I've led a couple of trips to Jamaica, on a couple of student trips to Jamaica as mission trips, and I've talked to several people there, and there's definitely a cultural thing there of a lot of people had the same response about church, about Christianity. Whenever I would talk to someone that was younger, they would almost always say something along the lines of church is for older people. Christianity is for older people. I'm going to live my life right now. I'm not going to give you the Jamaican accent because I'm terrible with accents, but I'm going to live my life right now. I'm going to do what I want to do, and then maybe down the road, you know, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Bible. You know, I've heard about that kind of stuff, but right now I want to live my life. I want to do my thing. I want to take care of what I want to do. I want to have fun. And then later on, when I'm done having fun, then I'll settle down and become a Christian. Then I'll settle down and start going to church. There is restrictions on when they would begin following Jesus. And with each one of them, I would try and explain that it's not something that we can wait for. It doesn't work that way. We either choose to follow Jesus or we choose not to follow Jesus. Are you willing to follow Jesus right now, without delay, without putting any of our things ahead of his, without trying to take care of whatever our responsibilities are, whatever our needs are, but following Jesus right now, without delay? Let's look at excuse number three. Excuse number three is someone. Someone, verse 61 through 62. Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Again, you look at this passage and you go, Jesus, the guy wants to say goodbye to his family. Let the guy say goodbye to the family. You know, if you were a disciple, you'd be like, Jesus, come on. You're being heartless here. Let the guy say goodbye to his family. He just wants to say goodbye. There's a little bit more going on here again. Jesus kind of answers that with the second part of that verse, verse 62. He says, "No one puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Okay, since I don't think a lot of you guys have oxen or, you know, plows to plow your fields, let me explain the process of what that would look like back then. Okay, if this is the plow, you would have to really kind of lean into the plow as the oxen were taking it. And you'd have to have this plow. With one hand, you'd have to be kind of steering it. With the other hand, you'd have to kind of be goading the oxen along to make sure that they're going at the right pace, that they're continuing to progress forward. And you'd really have to kind of be leaning into the plow to make sure that it got into the ground and make sure that it was going in the same direction. Now, if you're riding in on that plow and then you start to turn away, what's going to happen? The plow is going to come with you, and you're going to start having zigzagged crops, and it's not going to work the way you want it to work. Your plowing is going to go all over the place. And so Jesus is saying, you've started to follow me. You're already on the right track, but you're getting taken off course by other things. You're being taken off course by wanting your desire to say goodbye to someone. Here, Jesus is calling us to follow him without deviation, without deviating from the course that he has put before us, without wandering off course. Jesus is calling us to follow him without letting someone else come into the way and pull us from the path that he is calling us to. He's calling us to give up our social connections and keep our focus on him and him alone. To keep our focus forward as we continue to follow what he has done for us and laid before us. So in college, I had a philosophy test that I had to study for, and it was a really big test, and I needed to study for it. But I was living in the dorms, and in the dorms, sometimes it can be hard to study. And so there were some friends that I had that were in one room, and they were playing some video games, and they were hanging out together, and man, that was a lot more exciting than studying for a philosophy test. And so I saw my friends, and they were in the next room over. I saw this group of guys that I wanted to spend time with, that I wanted to hang out with, and so I made a bad choice. And I decided to hang out with them as opposed to studying for my philosophy test. And I said, I'm just going to hang out with you guys. I'm going to play video games until dinner. And then I'll go to dinner, and then we'll come back. And then I'm going to really work on studying. And so I played video games with them for a while until dinner. And I came back from dinner, and I went back to study for a little while. And I heard them. I heard them in the other room. And I heard them having fun in the other room. And I was like, maybe I'll just go say hi. Maybe I'll just go hang out over there for a little while, see what's going on over there. So I wandered back over there, and next thing you know, I have a controller in my hand, and one of the guys says, "No, you said that you were going to you said that you were gonna study after dinner." And I say, "Don't tell me what to do. I'll study later." And sure enough, I ended up not getting the best score on that test. But the point is that my friends, I wanted to hang out with those people, and that became a distraction for me. That caused me to go off course. I had a plan. I knew what I should do. But people can sometimes come in the way of what we want to do, of what our goal is, and they can take us off course. So we need to follow Jesus without deviation from the course that he has set before us. Are you willing to follow Jesus without deviation from the course, regardless of the different people or influences in your life? Excuse number four. Last one is something. Excuse number four is something. Here, it's something that comes in between us and following Jesus. Let's look at verse 23. I know I'm going backwards a little bit. Trust me on this. So, verse 23, it says, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it.' What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self?" Here we have the idea of something coming in our way. Most of the time, those somethings are caused by our selfishness, are caused by our desire to please ourselves, to take care of our own selfish needs. And so there's lots of different somethings that can come in the way of us following Jesus. But all of them generally boil down to one thing, that we're putting ourselves before following Jesus. Jesus is saying, if you want to follow me, you need to deny yourself. You need to deny that selfishness. You need to squash that selfishness. And you need to pick up your cross and you need to follow me. If you want to follow me, that's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take, is abandoning that selfish desire of yourself and beginning to follow me no matter what the cost. When Jesus says, take up the cross, we know that the cross was the tool that he, you know, was crucified on. We know that that was a tool of punishment and torture. But part of that also was this process where the person who was going to be crucified would have the crossbar and would have to kind of walk down the street as people sneered at them, as people threw stuff at them, as people mocked them. And they would have to kind of walk down the street to the place that they would be crucified. If we're going to pick up Jesus's cross, we're going to have to deny ourselves, because that might mean that we get made fun of. It might mean that we get sneered at. It might mean that other people don't like what we're doing. If we're going to carry that cross, it's going to be hard, because there's going to be other people that are going against us, that aren't wanting us to get where we're going. If we're going to follow Jesus, we need to follow him without distractions. Follow Jesus without distractions. When Jesus called his early disciples who were fishing, they were out fishing, and he used that opportunity to demonstrate some of his power. But at the end, he says, follow me. And they leave that distraction and they follow him. They put down their nets and they follow him. Fishing was a really good job in the Galilee area. It was a place where you could gain a lot of wealth. It was a place that you could live a very good life if you were a fisherman. And those fishermen, those disciples, they abandoned that to follow Jesus. They followed Jesus and they let down whatever could be a distraction in their life, and they just followed him immediately. Following Jesus without distractions means following Jesus without our selfishness, with a denial of ourself, denying our own needs, denying whatever it is that is pulling us away from following him. A little example from my own life. When I was in high school, I loved playing football. Football was my sport. I played football in high school, and that was something that kind of defined who I was. It was my identity was kind of wrapped up into that. And I went away to Hume Lake one year, and the speaker was up front. It was Francis Chan. Some of you guys may have heard him before. And the speaker was talking about the parable of the sower. And I'll kind of skip through for the sake of time, but he got to this particular part of the soil, which was the thorny soil. And this farmer is throwing out these seeds to the different types of soil, and some of them fall on the thorny soil. And he says, so some of the seeds, they fall on thorny soil. What happens in that case is that seed wants to grow, and it starts to grow, but there's thorns in the soil. There's things that are stealing the nutrients. There's things that are causing hindrances for that plant to grow. Now, that plant is still going to grow. It's still going to grow a little bit. It's just not going to be as healthy as it would if there were no thorns in the soil. It's probably still going to look like it might be okay, but it's not going to be a really healthy plant. It's not going to bear as much fruit. It's not going to have the kind of nutrients that it needs. And as he described that, I said, wow, that sounds like me. Because I'm a Christian, I'm following God, I'm going to church, I'm doing all the right things. But the bottom line is that football is more important to me than God. Really what I'm doing is I'm following football, and just when I have time off, I'm going and talking to Jesus too. Yeah, I'm trying to do both things, but really the bottom line is football was number one in my life. And I realized that at that point. And as Francis continued to talk, he says, so if sports are in control of your life, then you need to, if sports are the number one priority in your life and keeping you from following Jesus, you need to let that go. And as he did that, he reached into a little bag and he pulled out a football and he slammed it down in front of him as he talked about sports being a hindrance for us. At that point, I was convicted. Yeah, the Holy Spirit said, yes, I'm talking to you, Brian. And so I made a decision at that point that I wasn't going to allow anything to become a distraction for me from following Jesus. And that meant I needed to make a choice to let go of football, let go of something that was important to me. But I made the choice to quit playing football my senior year before as I was looking into playing even in college. I made the choice to give that up because it was in my way of following Jesus. Now, I'm not saying to those of you that, you know, that play sports, those of you high schoolers or whatever, I'm not saying you need to go and quit whatever you're doing so that you can follow Jesus. I'm just saying if that is in your way, if that is something that's keeping you, you need to rearrange your priorities. However that means for you, your biggest priority needs to be following Jesus. You need to put Jesus as number one, and anything else needs to fall behind that. We can come up with a lot of excuses, a lot of distractions for not following Jesus, a lot of reasons not to follow Jesus. I put a little comic up. You can put it up there. We got a little sheep here, and there's a shepherd there, and the sheep's got his headphones in. He's got a radio on. He's got his computer on. He's reading a book. He's got a TV on. He's got all these things going on. And he says, I wonder why I don't hear from the shepherd anymore. And it says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. If we're asking ourselves, why don't I hear from the shepherd anymore? Why don't I hear from Jesus anymore? Why don't I hear Jesus in my life? Maybe it's because we have so many distractions that are vying for our time. That's hard. It's made it hard for us to follow him. So we need to follow Jesus without distractions, without dealing with those distractions that come up in our life. Jesus wants real followers who are willing to give up their selfish needs, willing to give up their desire for a particular standard of living, willing to give up anything to follow him. Are you willing to be that kind of follower? Are you willing to be that kind of follower that will follow Jesus today, regardless of what that might mean for you? Let nothing, let no one, let no time or nowhere hold you back from Jesus. Let none of those things hold you back from following the Lord Jesus. Follow him without demands, without making demands of what that might mean in your life. Follow him without delay, without waiting for a better time. Follow him without deviating from the course that he has put before us. Follow him without dealing with those distractions. Follow him no matter what it takes. Because we can put a lot of things before Jesus. We can put a lot of things in our life. can pursue a standard of living. We can pursue our house or the right job or whatever those things might be, more money. We can pursue all those things and say, well, I need to take care of those needs first. I'm gonna go my own way. We can do that, but the bottom line is we're not going to get where we want to go. It's not going to be as fulfilling when we get there. You're never going to have enough money. You're never going to have a big enough house. You're never going to have the best paying job. There's always going to be more. But following Jesus is going to be way better. Following Jesus is going to be a way better life. It might mean a lot of sacrifices, but you're going to be happier. You're going to be way more fulfilled. You're going to love following Jesus way more than following yourself, because he's a way better leader. If you haven't chosen to follow Jesus, maybe you have a desire to follow Jesus today. Maybe you have a desire to make that decision today. Maybe God's calling you right now. Whether you're a believer who just hasn't really given everything to follow Jesus, there's something that's been holding you back. Don't let anything hold you back. Maybe you're not a believer and you want to begin that relationship with Jesus today because you trust that he is a much better leader than and can do a much better job in your life than you can. So begin following Jesus today. Let's pray. God, thanks for bringing us today. Thanks for the opportunity to come before you and worship you. And God, we pray that as we follow you, as we begin to follow you, that we wouldn't let anything come in our way. We wouldn't let any distractions come before us, and that we would follow you with everything that we have. In your name we pray. Amen.